Mike.
Hey, Michelle, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Hey, thanks for filling in, Michelle. Unfortunately, Jamie has some time commitments and her schedule is not going to allow her to podcast anymore.
That is so sad. I feel like I'm like losing my sister wife.
Okay. Well, you can text her and tell her that and connect with her.
Definitely.
All right. Well, we're here, Michelle, to fill in a little bit of lost time on our Better Call Saul podcast that I missed last week because of the schedule crash here. But thank you for filling in.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I hope I can step into some pretty big shoes here.
You're a Better Call Saul fan, aren't you?
I am a Better Call Saul fan. I was a Breaking Bad fan, but I've never watched it to podcast it. I've never paid that close of attention, so I'll probably have some questions for you and stuff, but I'm pretty excited to do it. I love the show.
Do you follow along, like, every week when it comes on? You, like, look forward to watching it, and you catch it, like, pretty close to when it comes on?
I usually watch it 2 or 3 days after it comes on just because of my schedule. But yeah, definitely every week watching it when it comes on and anticipating the series starting again and everything. I love it.
All right. Well, this is 303 Sunk Costs. And this episode or this whole series of Better Call Saul has been really, really cool. And it's getting even better because it's the prelude to Breaking Bad.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's the history. It's the background of Breaking Bad.
It is, but it also seems, I mean, it's so standalone. I love that we get all this essentially backstory on everybody that we loved in Breaking Bad. But I love also that even if you didn't know this stuff, it's still just a great TV show on its own merits.
Yeah, but it's way better to know the other stuff.
Well, sure.
I love what's coming up, and I just love, like, the whole history of the cartel and what's going on with Mike and Gus and all the stuff. All the consequences of actions that are being driven by greater things. It's super interesting to me.
And I love hating, like, Chuck.
Chuck sucks.
He's awful.
Well, this one starts out with a flash forward, Michelle. It's the shoes on the wire.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the Poyos truck coming by, and this is something that's happening in the future for Mike, but the shoes got tossed up on the wire in the past, so that was kind of a confusing little thing. But we kind of see the truck go on the same route that the other truck goes on in the real time that we see in the episode.
Right.
And then the shoe drops, and then the credits hit. So it's kind of a little mystery here at the very beginning.
So, yeah, it's really cool. You don't ever picture those shoes falling, right? I mean, you know, you see those shoes on the wires sometimes, right? And there's different theories on what that stuff means, but I've never pictured them just aging and falling. But of course, they would.
Yeah, that could have been like 3 years or 5 years or, you know, who knows, even more.
Sure.
But get to the center strip of the road, and it's Mike in the tracker, and he's not afraid to answer the phone. He just picks it up right away, and Gus wants to meet him, Michelle. He wants to talk to him, and at first he wants to check to see if he has a gun or not and make sure he's not angry at him and shoot at him the first thing.
Right.
So they meet, and I think this is – I'm trying to remember because I missed a week here in my podcast stream, but this is Mike meeting Gus for the very first time, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And Gus is in his badass black. There's no yellow short sleeve shirt in this scene. It's his badass looking criminal gangster black.
He's so cool, right? I mean, he just never misses a beat with anything.
And for some reason, Gus wants to keep Hector alive for now. I don't really know why yet, but for now, he doesn't want him taken out.
Okay, now Mike says, he tells Gus here that he threatened his family. Do we know about that? Because I'm not remembering exactly what that was all about.
Mike does say that, and yeah, I think he does something. He does say something about his granddaughter or something in the past. I can't remember exactly what.
Okay, I wasn't sure if I should have known that or how important that was. Yeah. Okay. we'll go on. I wanted to say something else, but we'll wait till we get there.
So Gus, yeah, so Mike says he threatened my family, and Gus says you took his money. So Gus kind of counters him saying you threatened my family with, but you took his money. You didn't kill him. You just took his money.
Right. Gus seems to have this thing where money kind of cures the ills as much as possible anyway, right? It's almost like, well, that's the repercussion for him threatening your family. So aren't you even? I just had the feeling that Gus was saying, you know, since you did something back to him, even though it wasn't as personal, that should have kind of ended this feud or whatever. But I could totally be wrong.
Yeah, so this is all related to the good guy, civilian, good Samaritan. Do you remember that from the episode before, or one or two before this?
Where the guy was killed, right? For helping.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Mike is disrupting Hector's business between Mexico and Albuquerque. So he ties up the truck driver, steals the money, and leaves the truck driver alive, but leaves him tied up. And then a good Samaritan comes along, unties the truck driver. Truck driver calls like Nacho and his gang, and they come out, and then they kill the good Samaritan.
Right, right.
So I think that's what Mike is pissed off at. So Mike is essentially the good guy criminal.
Hurts
people's business, but doesn't hurt them.
And he was kind of like that in Breaking Bad, too. Remember? You kind of, the stuff he did was not lawful stuff, but it was stuff that felt, I don't know, like a vigilante justice kind of stuff, even though it wasn't vigilante because he was being paid for it, right? But something like that.
Yeah, he's certainly following form from here. From the same way he was in Breaking Bad. He's the same Mike that we know.
Right, exactly.
So Gus likes that Mike had hurt Hector's business, because we're going to find out soon that Gus and Hector are essentially, even though they're both cartel guys, they're vying for each other's traffic and business and favor within the cartel.
Right.
So Gus says, okay, so you're done with Hector? And Mike says nothing. He just kind of shrugs because he doesn't want to say no. He's not done with him, really.
Right.
And Gus says, goodbye, Mr. Ehrmantraut. And Mike says, Mike, it's Mike. You don't have to call me Mr. Ehrmantraut. So he kind of invites him to be friendly with him. And this is the opposite of, remember when in Breaking Bad, Mike was with Hank, and Hank said, is it all right if I call you Mike? And it's Mr. Ehrmantraut. He says, it's Mr. Ehrmantraut. Okay, oh. Mike. It's the opposite. Yeah. He wants him to be friendly, and Mike wants to be formal.
Okay, that was a good catch, yeah.
Here it's the good exact callback. Opposite.
Yeah.
So Mike talks to Gus, parlays with him a little bit. So you want to interrupt his supply line, and we know that from Breaking Bad, we know all this, that Gus wants his own supply to replace that of the cartel, and we kind of know this history. So it's interesting that this is all happening. And some of it was via Salud, the episode Salud, and we're going to see coming up what happens with those guys. So I'm loving that they're bringing all these guys back to life.
Oh, I know. I know.
So anyway, Hector being Gus's competition is the perfect entree for them to be friends. So the next scene, we see Francesca again. She's at Jimmy's now, Jimmy's new secretary. Jimmy needs her to cover for him. Reschedule everything, Michelle, because he's going to be busy for a little while. He's parked outside of Chuck's house, sitting on the sidewalk.
He sure is.
Smoking a cigarette, just waiting for doom to befall him. And Chuck comes out and tries to be friendly / polite, but he's just being a total dick. And he says, you don't have to wait out here. You can come in and wait. And he's essentially waiting for the police to come and arrest him.
Yeah. What is Chuck's motive to do this stuff and then to act like he's being kind to him?
Well, I think Chuck's ultimate goal is to get him barred
disbarred
from the bar.
Sure, disbarred. Sure. But why does he pretend otherwise? They have the weirdest relationship. There's a couple of scenes in the upcoming episode that, you know, you believe this stuff. I mean, I didn't believe Chuck, but I believe Jimmy when he's saying stuff. And here, I just don't understand. I mean, he's obviously doesn't like Jimmy. I mean, he obviously has it in for him. And do we even really know why?
He's just self-righteous. Like, you don't deserve to be a lawyer. Only good, you know, higher stature people than you, higher quality of, I don't know what, people than you get to be lawyers, and you're not one of them. So you somehow got snuck into the club, and I'm going to make sure you get kicked out. I don't know. It's shitty. It's condescending, and he double-facedly says, I'm just doing this to show you how to be a better man, how to change, and just fuck you, Chuck.
It's really bad.
So Jimmy says, here's what's going to happen to you. One day you're going to be alone, sick in your stupid space blanket. It's going to be too much, and you're going to die alone. And then Jimmy's arrested, processed, photographed, fingerprinted. And they make it look pretty unfun that Jimmy, the lawyer, is now going through the same system that he regularly deals and defends people from.
Oh, can you imagine? I mean, that would be really bad.
We get a little comedic relief with this other lawyer that kind of comes in and laughs at him, this prosecutor.
Yeah. Yeah, some kind of, what, like a deputy DA maybe or something?
Yeah. Somebody Jimmy probably runs up against almost like collegially, like, okay, here's another case we're going to clash. You know, they're kind of friends almost, friends/competitors.
But that guy's really cool. Isn't that a good character?
He's not very cool. He's good at his role, but he's kind of a doofus, I think.
He's a doofus, but he's got some charm about him, right, in this weird way?
Well, he's very clever. I don't know if he's charming. He's kind of funny/mean to Jimmy. Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
But like you would be in a situation like that, right?
I mean, Jimmy probably would be if the table was turned, yeah.
Well, sure, and you wouldn't want anybody to come in there and go, oh my gosh, how are you? I mean, that would be horrible, right? You want somebody to still be themselves in a situation like that and be that way with you. But when push comes to shove, he is compassionate.
He does kind of say, you're going to be okay? Looks like you're going to be here all night. You're going to be okay?
Right.
Yeah. So Kim wakes up, next scene, 5:30 a.m. She's still hugging the Mesa Verde binder she's studied all night and fell asleep with.
Yeah, she's in her office, isn't she?
Yeah, she goes across the street from the office to the health club to get ready for work, Michelle.
She sure does.
Did that ring true to female prepping for work?
I can't imagine that you would have everything that you needed to get as made up as she gets there, but maybe I'm just, I don't know, maybe it just takes me more to get ready. But she had all of her clothes like neatly out and all the makeup and the, I don't know, they probably had a hair dryer, and she always does the pulled back hair. So I guess I can buy that. But
well, she had her gym bag. If you're going to a health club regularly, you probably, if you're a girl, have all the stuff in your bag that you would.
Right, right. It didn't look like it was the first time that it happened. So
Ernie's outside when she gets done getting ready from the health club, and he wants to talk to her. He's been fired. So once again, Chuck, Jesus Christ, fires Ernie from just. For what? For being part of a connection to Jimmy, I guess.
Well, he set him up anyway, don't you think? I don't know that I believe that was an accident. Do you?
Well,
I felt like Chuck left that out and told him to put it up or something. I mean, I don't know, the tape recorder. It really felt like a setup for Ernie. And then Ernie, knowing how Ernie is, that he would take it, you know, to Jimmy in a way, in some way.
Yeah.
If he could. And then he fired him for doing it.
You'd almost think that if something malicious was happening to Chuck and Ernie found out about it, he'd go to Chuck and say, hey, dude, these guys are conspiring against you. You should know about it. Like, he's just a good guy.
Right. Very, like very honest and very, you know, loyal, I guess.
So, but this is how Kim finds out that Jimmy's been arrested.
Yeah, Kim's like, what? She didn't even know.
So Jimmy's in the courtroom. The judge recognizes him, of course. And he's got some pretty hefty charges, Michelle, for the stupid little thing he did, broke into Chuck's house. Felony breaking and entering, 18 months penalty. Assault, 6 months penalty. Prison. $500 fine. Damage to property, 6 months in prison, $500 fine. So,
yeah, the felony's the bad one. Yeah.
Jimmy goes and pleads not guilty, and Kim shows up to be his lawyer, but he wants to rep himself, and he won't let her. They try to whisper. That was funny, and the court reporter leans in like, I can't hear that.
Why do you think he wouldn't let her? I know he explains himself, but do you buy that? That he just didn't want her involved when he says that later on?
He doesn't want to drag her into it. She's clean, you know. He's in the muck now.
Yeah, okay.
I think he loves her. I think he really doesn't want her dragged into the crap that he's kind of created.
And I think also that he might be a little bit embarrassed that he fell for that.
Yeah, of course. So back at the office, they kind of reconnect. You know, Jimmy says, Chuck bamboozled me, caught me coming over and played me, and I lost my shit. He played me like a fiddle. I'm sorry. It's my screw up. I own it. I won't let him endanger our business. And Kim just says, okay.
So, yeah, but she didn't like it.
No, she kind of knows when to back off. She's a really, really good reader of people.
She is, but... You know, there's a whole lot of times when a woman says okay, that it's anything but okay. And I think that might have been one of her okays.
So Francesca has fixed up the logo on the wall, Michelle, and they have a kind of a tender little scene.
Yeah.
Jimmy needs a ride from her and tells her, hey, just so you know, this isn't really a typical week around here.
Right.
God, do we know that that's not true?
Now, what did she do to the wall? Because I didn't notice a big difference in it this week and the week prior.
Well, it was interesting that the WM, mm-hmm. Wexler McGill, the M was crooked. It's funny because, like, Jimmy's crooked. So she fixed the crooked part of the stencil of the M.
Okay, cool. I didn't notice that.
It wasn't, like, glaringly obvious, but it was funny. All right, so we jump to the scene now with the Clinica Gratuita, the free clinic, the doctor's office. And it's the doctor from the Eladio scene from Salud.
Oh, I knew I had seen him somewhere before. I wasn't sure, though. I couldn't figure it out. Okay.
Now, this guy's not a total criminal either. He's working at a free clinic. He gives the little boy candy. He seems like a good guy, treats patients, and then finds Mike waiting in the waiting room.
He sure does. He's got a gift for Mike, too.
He's got a case of the revenge. So it's a little double entendre. He's there for the revenge.
Yep.
And Mike needs a little package from him, and he gets it. And we see what he does with it pretty soon, but puts it in the trunk with his sniper rifle.
Yeah.
All right, so back to Jimmy's buddy, the lawyer, the prosecutor. He's getting coffee and chips for his lunch.
Yeah.
And Jimmy sits next to him with a better lunch, a burger and fries that just tempts this guy to all ends.
And he's so playing him with that food, right? I mean, he said it there knowing this guy. He knows this guy. It's like I don't want to use the word bribe, but it's certainly something to endear the guy to him.
He thinks this guy might be the prosecuting attorney against him. So he's trying to find out information. But this guy tells him that the whole office has been conflicted out, that everybody's got such an intimate knowledge of Jimmy that they're all dropped out.
Right.
And it's another lawyer from another district, a lady named Hay.
That's completely believable, too.
So Jimmy gives up the burger. Just like he had to give up the car, he gave up the burger.
He wanted to give up the burger. I think the burger was... Yeah, right. And... The guy goes, oh, those are the best fats. I literally laughed out loud when he said that.
He was a skinny little guy, too. It wasn't like he was a bad eater. Probably just didn't have money for nice trans fatty food, though, huh?
I don't know. He was like, you know, sitting there picking those fries. Jimmy's like, you want a fry? And he's like, ooh. You know, and he puts his little chips to the side and eats a fry. And then he kind of looks at Jimmy, puts his hand down like, may I have another one? And Jimmy's like, sure, go ahead. It was neat. He knew the guy liked food.
Yeah, he reeled him in little by little.
He did.
All right, so the next scene is Mike with the shoes. He puts the drugs in the shoes, brand new red tennis shoes, and slings them up on the wire. and wondering what the heck is going on here.
Yep.
And heads back to the USA or whatever. Back to the USA because he was in Mexico with the free clinic.
Well, and right, the stop sign said, what, Alto, too, if I'm saying that correctly, in place of stop. So he was still in Mexico there, I think.
Yeah, 20 kilometers.
Right, yeah. That's right, I said
that. So I looked up that highway, Michelle. It's Mexican Federal Highway number 2.
Uh-huh.
You ever look on YouTube? You can look on roads, and people have driven them and videoed them, and you can pretend you're driving down the road.
I have never even heard of that.
Like travel Highway 40 through Colorado, and then you'll have somebody with a dash cam video of driving along. It's pretty cool.
That is really cool.
But I couldn't find one for this highway. I was curious to see what it looked like.
Yeah, I'd be curious if it's as desolate as it looks like it is.
They call it something like, in Wikipedia, something like a non-confrontation zone. Because it goes through like Tijuana, some places, it flirts with the border at a bunch of places. So they say non-confrontation, where they don't give you too much trouble for going in and across the border. Like, people must go to work a lot. So you can't be in a 2-hour line at customs going to work and coming home every day.
That's a good point. Yeah.
But that's what this road, Highway 2, Mexican Federation Road number 2 is.
Hmm.
I mean, it looks like kind of a dirt road. It looks like a crappy old road, but
it didn't look like a place you'd want to run out of gasoline or anything.
All right, so we see the lady now, the prosecutor, Ms. Hay. She goes to see Chuck. She interviews him, essentially, finding out about the case. She interviews him about Jimmy, wants to know what their background is. Chuck paints it pretty convincingly, says he'll testify against Jimmy. He wants to know her strategy so he can help her essentially be effective, I guess.
Well, yeah, he's manipulating her the whole time. He's absolutely sucking her into his illness and everything. He has her feeling pity for him, and he's using that for her. He doesn't want Chuck to go to jail. It's just like you said earlier. He wants Chuck disbarred. That's all he wants. And so, you know, he's going, you just have to do this. You know, I'm going to have to testify against him because it's the right thing to do. And she's going, but that's your brother, and it'll be hard. And I'll need a sworn testimony. He's like, yeah, but, you know, sometimes you just have to do it. And then he's like, but wait, you know, maybe we can do this. Maybe I have a better solution. And it's like, that's his whole thing, because she wasn't going to let go of the felony. She said she was going to dig in with the felony, because the felony is like the big, big deal in this. That's the thing that'll get him disbarred, and she's not going to let it go.
Yeah, officers of the court need to be held to higher standards. You're right. He gets her all wired up, all amped up for this. But Michelle, deliciously, the writers have Chuck teed up for some horrendous fall.
We can just hope, right?
Oh, my God, I'm gonna be so
sad to see Chuck's comeuppance, right?
Yep. So back to the border scene. Mike's now with the shoes, and back in our time now, the shoes are not worn out, but in real time. And he's looking at the field. He's looking at them with the field glasses and through the rifle scope. And the non-Poyos truck comes this time, the Regalo Helado truck, Hector's truck.
Right.
Frozen gifts. Frozen gifts are ice cream. And the guys do their pickup. Or not their pickup. I guess they stash their weapons in this 20-kilometer zone before they go across the border.
Right. Now, Mike would have had to have known that they did that, right? He would have had to have known where they stopped and all that kind of stuff, right?
Oh, you know he's cased this intersection.
Right.
15 times before. Yeah, that's how he knew where to put the shoes and everything.
Sure.
So then Mike starts to fire warning shots in the air. One shot, then another, and another. And then it's like really not a warning shot. And then the guys are confused. I'm confused.
Right.
But they think it's hunters, which I guess kind of starts to explain it. And then they go ahead and continue to hide their guns. They're not threatened anymore. And they get under the shoes, and Mike shoots a hole, and the drugs flow from the shoes down on top of the truck.
Right.
It's brilliant.
And, It is brilliant, because if they hadn't if Mike hadn't fired those other shots, they would have gotten out or whatever. They would have been suspicious at that point of the shot. But they weren't, because he had fired all the other shots.
Yeah, now they'll never figure it out. They'll never know what the hell happened.
Not at all.
Pretty fun. Pretty cool how they did that. All right, so now at the office, Jimmy's outside smoking. Kim's working. She meets him outside, and they really bond again here, just like they did in the very first episode of the whole Better Call Saul series. They share the cigarette outside, just like the good old days.
Yep.
And they laugh. It was really good to see them laugh, because I thought Jimmy was really going to be out on the outs with Kim here.
Yeah, I don't know. I had more faith in Kim. I mean, we know. See, we've got this sight into what goes on, and we know that they don't end up together. We know this. So there's going to be something that tears this apart in some way. But I don't know. I trust Kimmy to stand by him as long as she can.
Kimmy?
And by the way, Kim. Yeah, Kim. I don't know why I'm calling her Kimmy. Jimmy, I guess. Jimmy, Kimmy. But they're probably smoking a cigarette from the pack from episode one, because she's talking about how stale and everything it is, how he found it in the car.
Yeah, he found an old pack in the glove box.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping Jimmy and Kim find a way to get together after the Cinnabon in Omaha somehow. Omaha is deliciously close to Kansas City, where Kim's from, and Jimmy's been seen with like a Kansas City Royals lunchbox as not Jimmy, but as Gene.
Right.
So he's either remembering her fondly, or I don't know. That's tempting to hope that they would be together somehow.
Yeah, that would be great. Like, she just comes in for a Cinnabon someday.
Yeah.
And they reconnect.
A Cinnabon comes in to be with him.
Right.
So they talk about the case. Jimmy says Chuck's, the PPD whole thing was his pre-prosecution diversion. No, essentially no conviction. It's just, I need to confess.
Right.
To everything. It's Chuck's idea. I got to lose my license. And Kim tells him to fight this. And she says, well, you're not alone. He first says Chuck has everybody, all of his cronies, him and his cronies all against me. I'm alone. She says, you're not alone. You have me. Which is, again, further hope that they may be still pretty strongly bonded here.
Right.
And Jimmy says, why on earth would you still be with me? And she says, the fallacy of sunk costs.
You're right.
Can't get out now. I've got too much invested.
Right. Which was pretty good.
And that's it. That's the end of it. I just like how the strategy and all the trickery and all the stuff invites counter-strategy. Like, it's kind of happening with Gus and Mike and the cartel, and it's happening with Chuck and Jimmy and now Kim helping them. They're going to come up with they're going to use, like, the taekwondo on Chuck and use the judo on him and leverage all his might against him somehow.
I think they are. I think we're seeing that, and I'm real excited to see how they end up manipulating this that way.
Yeah, yeah. So that's it for 303, Michelle. Thanks again for helping me.
No problem.
It is a big help. I don't know what we're going to end up doing with Better Call Saul, but I appreciate you filling in.
Sure, sure. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. I enjoy it. I really love the show, so...
How do people reach you and your Tribal Rant podcasts and everything?
I am on Twitter at Michelle from TN, and also do some podcasts over at TribalRant.com.
All right, and we do some other podcasts on our West Coast Project feeds. We're doing right now. It's really fun.
Absolutely.
Better Call Saul is the fill-in. You know, who knows? Maybe you can chip in more even.
Sure.
But Halt to Catch Fire, The Affair... All that good stuff.
Lots of good TV. Yep.
All right. So if you're willing to help again, Michelle, next week we have Sabrosito, and that'll catch me up at least to where we are now.
I'd love to.
All right. Well, thanks. And I'll talk to you then.
Okay. Talk to you later.